Welcome to the Mobile Storytelling Podcast with me, Wietse Vellinga in the Netherlands.
And I'm Björn Staschen in Hamburg, Germany. Welcome to this edition, a special one, Wietse, because we feel there's some need to talk.
Yep, we need to talk about some stuff that, well, to be quite frank, doesn't make us that happy, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it's about money. When we all started mobile journalism, it was also one reason for starting it was that it was affordable to anyone. So, no, the idea behind mobile journalism was that it might even give a voice to people and communities that can't afford the professional camera gear and everything. And so far, mobile journalism has been quite affordable, but times are changing.
Times are changing. Everything is getting more expensive, and so is Mojo. Let's take this bit by bit, piece by piece, and let's start with the hardware side of the story. 2 weeks ago, we saw the release of the new iPhones, the iPhone 14, the 14 Max, the 14 Pro, and the 14 Pro Max. So four different yet the same phones. And I don't believe there's any phone below the 1,000 euro mark. Is there?
Well, the iPhone 14, which without any P word, that starts at $799 if you choose the option with only 128 gigabit. And even the 14 Pro with a better camera only costs $999 as long as you opt for the 128 gigabit.
Only cost $999.
Well, you said below 1,000, and that is why
that
I said
true,
only.
That is true. But I think $999 for a phone is bizarre. Yeah. I know we passed that mark a long time ago, but just breaking it down to what you actually are buying, it does not make sense to me anymore.
No, it's just a phone.
How do you feel about that?
No, it's just a phone.
Just a phone.
And the most expensive Pro Max with a terabyte storage, which is nice for video,
right.
is $1,600, which is ridiculous. If you put it in relation to the production cost, as we know, the production costs are only a fragment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really hate to make this comparison, but still I'm going to do it. And Nick Garner is going to be happy that I'm going to say this. But for that price, you could also buy a laptop and a DSLR and go out and shoot your stories.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really make me happy, especially because Apple is not the only one doing this. I've been recently playing around with a Sony smartphone with a ridiculous price tag of over 1,500 euros. And it can do a lot. Don't get me wrong. You can get very crisp, nice video out of it and very great microphones it has. And you can edit in a very quick mode. But, you know, in the end, as you said in the beginning, it doesn't feel quite right anymore to have those prices slapped on what once was a guerrilla style journalism with small and cheap hardware.
Quickly tell us what you're playing around with, so we all know.
It's the Xperia Pro I, which is a smartphone aimed at a professional market. So in that way, it makes sense that it has a bigger price tag. But I feel like all the phone companies have gone for pro mode.
It's difficult. Even though
pro is not always pro, now is it? And I mean, we in Western Europe can probably afford it. Our companies can afford it. But if we go to areas where they have to struggle with much difficult circumstances in doing their journalism work, let alone being paid the right price for their work, I'm sad about this.
Yeah, it kind of, as you say, if there is no difference between buying a DSLR and a laptop or a phone, the point for mobile journalism to make video production available to many more people is kind of gone away, which is really sad. And we've talked to Sarah Tite in this podcast, who is producing video in Lebanon. I have trained journalists in Myanmar, where it really is kind of the one option to give communities a voice that don't have a voice in state television. And for all these people, these phones are simply not an option. And we also see that those companies who produce the cheaper phones from China, we've been playing around with Xiaomi phones, for example, that even these companies are raising prices. So I think it's maybe time to, again, start looking for brands that are kind of only emerging and that bring us cheaper phones.
Yeah, and but the thing is that these phones you buy for that high price, if you could use them for like 10 years or something, then it would still make sense. But we all know that after 2 years, the phones get slower. The first things start to break down. You probably dropped it once or twice, so the screen is broken. It's not like they're going to last forever.
Well, I'm still on my desk here. I'm still using an iPhone 6 Pro as remote control for Filmic Pro. And I think until a year ago, even Filmic Pro still worked on that phone. So we must kind of at least grant some kudos to Apple for updating their phones for quite some time, longer than other companies.
True. That's true. So it's not all bad. But we also know that some Android brands, well, tend to stop offering updates after 2 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you then spend over €1,000 on a phone and only be able to use them for 2 years, that doesn't quite make the cut for me.
That's true. And though also here I'm the positive guy today. We also must say that Android phones in general are much more are cheaper than iPhones, as we know. And even the Google Pixel phones are, like, you know, if you get them at a discounter, you get good Google Pixel phones with decent video quality for €400. So there are still options out there.
And to be on the positive side, I mean, all the other benefits of side. Mojo. true. But I'm still going to offer a positive opinion now, is that on the bright side of this spectrum is that the benefits of doing a Mojo report are still valid. I mean, it's still a small device that doesn't scare away the people you want to interview. So that still is a valid point. But I was kind of hoping that we wouldn't be on like this rat race towards higher prices every year.
Yeah,
I was kind of hoping that they would find solutions to make it more affordable for everyone.
Well, that is nice of you that you hope that, but we know that these are not kind of companies who aim for the greater good of society, but who aim for the greater income of the people who hold their shares. So there you are.
True. And inflation is probably also the enemy of innovation. So
I like that.
The situation we're in right now probably doesn't help for pricing either. So it'll probably get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, well, if it gets better, maybe it just stays on this level because they've reached it now. Maybe, and we must say that the iPhone prices actually not increased with regard to the 13 models. They stayed the same, but on a very high level. In a very good journalistic tradition, we started this podcast with 10 minutes of what everyone knows. But what it still makes us a little angry and doubtful about the prospects of mobile journalism. But there is more to come, and I find these other topics that we're going to talk about even more worrying with regard to pricing, Vitsa.
Yeah. You're referring to the app pricing. The fact that a number of apps we as Mojo community have been using for years are either thinking about or implementing subscription models.
Yeah, we were kind of so proud, and we were also, we must say, kind of surprised that Filmic Pro and LumaFusion, for example, managed to just sell the app for a one-off price. Mm-hmm. That was kind of, well, it was nearly gracious of them to do that. And I secretly always wondered, how do they do it? How do they develop an app that wonderful and that perfect for video production if I only pay once? But here we are, Filmic Pro, and let's stress, it's about Filmic Pro. It's not about LumaFusion. Filmic Pro, the filming app that is available on Android as well as iPhones, is introducing subscription pricing.
Yeah, much to, I think, the shock of most users. I don't know how many messages I got from former trainees and former colleagues who asked me, oh my God, am I still going to be able to use the app I bought at some point in the past? And there was some anger with some of the people who thought they now have to pay again for something they already bought. And to be clear, that is not what is the case right now. I mean, if you bought Filmic Pro in the past, you've paid for it and you're done paying. You don't have to pay for a subscription.
Though if you read properly, I'm not sure, but it looks like you don't pay for the app that you have now.
Exactly. So there's like, that's a good distinction. It might be that some of the updates and judging from the past in Filmic Pro, the updates are always very useful and a very good addition to an already, well, in my eyes, pretty perfect app. You probably won't get all of them.
Yeah, and you know, as phones are progressing, there might be a point where you can't buy a new phone without updating your Filmic Pro app. And if you have to update, you probably have to change into subscription models. We don't know. We just speculate. You know, we don't have a black on white ink information. And also with regard to the price models, it looks as if Filmic Pro is still experimenting and thinking about what they might do and what they don't.
And I can imagine why, because in the past they were I wouldn't say blatantly against a subscription model, but they weren't looking for that model. They were very happy that everybody was happy with the one time off. But as you said, it is to be like the devil's advocate here, it is amazing that they lasted for that one time off price for so long.
Yeah, it's been, what is it, 10, 12 years? I don't even know. But it's been a long time.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And they started out, I believe it was $1.99. So there's still people using the app 10 years later that was once $1.99. And they never paid anything else.
Yeah.
And they got all the updates and the app got better and better. Could do more and more, and they only paid €2 or $2, and I'm not sure what, but that's all they paid.
Yeah.
And the team has grown, Filmic Pro team, and they've always been very good to us as a Mojo community. So I feel like they've done as much as they could to avoid like the subscription model. But in the end, app builders also have to get paid. So I do understand why they have to do this.
Yeah, I do
as
well.
But it's still a bummer.
It is still a problem with regard to also convincing students to buy the app. And
here
we also have to stress, Filmic Pro is, as for example, LumaFusion, is a company that is so supportive with regard to student education. That are really helping out when you ask them about a university course and want to introduce Filmic Pro. But it will be much more difficult to convince students to stay on that app if they have to change into a subscription model. We don't really know how the pricing structure will look. But from information available within the iOS App Store with regard to in-app purchases, there will be a weekly subscription between 99 cent and $4.99 with a free trial. So something between $1 and $5. And if you compare that to the one-off price of around $20 that kind of people who bought the app recently paid, that's quite an increase. Within 4 weeks, you will have reached the one-off price. And I can't even calculate it up to a year. So it's 50 times, well, let's say two. So it's 100 per year or something, even 200 if they opt for the higher option. That is quite a lot of money.
Exactly. And it comes on top of what we discussed earlier, on top of the price you already paid for the phone, which is already steep.
Yeah.
So this is an extra cost you'll have to add to that to make your phone a professional camera.
Yeah. And I think it might even pay off for the people who kind of use their phone daily. But these might be people also who have a subscription for the Adobe Creative Cloud or whatever. But all those people who use it once a month because they're radio reporters or magazine or newspaper reporters and do this great interview once a month for the website. Or those people who work for a charity who do the video twice a week or whatever. For all these people, it will really be a question if they are going to afford it for such a high subscription price if they only use it now and then. Yeah. And I believe that quite a lot of mobile phone, mobile reporting journalists do only use it now and then and not regularly.
Yeah. And the danger, of course, is that these people who now sometimes use the app for filming are going to go back to free apps or even their normal camera app, and the quality will go down pretty steeply.
Yeah.
And then it's, well, less easy to convince the bosses of how professional Mojo actually is. If all that comes out is from free apps.
Yeah, that's true. It might be a step back with regard to how legitimate is mobile reporting if there are more and more people shooting in lower resolution, not in 25p if they work for television and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the this is, again, from our relative easy perspective of being a journalist in the West. But I don't know if the prices in, let's say, India or wherever are going to be less than over here. But the added cost will probably be an extra hurdle for them to actually go into Mojo and tell stories that do need to be told.
Yeah, you're right. How did this happen? Filmic Pro has been an independent company, I think even working in one building in Seattle, on the West Coast with the LumaFusion people. But they have been acquired by a company from Italy called Bending Spoons. Filmic Pro says on their website, a globally renowned mobile technology and app development company from Milan. And we know Bending Spoons for one app, at least, which is Splice.
Right.
Have you been working with Splice?
Yeah, it's an editing app, but... Yeah, I'm not very, very, not a big fan.
So I wonder what these two will, you know, in the future, where, how that will go together. Splice, which is not so much for professional journalists.
No,
and
it's not.
Filmic Pro on the other side.
It's more of like a social media, happy-go-lucky, funny kind of videos app. My biggest fear is that there would be some kind of integration of the two apps. I definitely hope that's not what the future of Filmic Pro is, because I would be very sad to say goodbye to Filmic Pro.
Like it is now.
Because I still believe, even though they're going in this direction, that they are groundbreaking in what they're doing.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, they are getting more out of the camera of a phone than the generic camera does. And you would think that the builders of a phone know best what to get out of their camera, but Filmic Pro definitely gets out much more, even out of an iPhone.
Yeah, and they understand the users. I mean, they listen to the users. I mean, if you ask them for a certain feature, you can be sure that they will look into it.
Yeah.
They really feel for what people could produce with it.
Yeah.
You can see that on their Twitter feed. They keep sharing what people make with their app. Yeah. Not just to show off, look how great we are. No, they are actually showing off, look how great these people are.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. And I don't think the competition is that invested in their users as Filmic Pro is.
No, you're probably right. One more detail that I want to add. I only found out because someone wrote to me, a man from Denmark, and
right.
he first stumbled about the takeover by Bending Spoons because he was asked to grant permissions for Filmic Pro on his phones that were different mm-hmm. from the permissions that he has granted before. And it looks like the privacy and data protection permissions that Bending Spoon asks for are quite away from what we gave Filmic Pro permission to before. And there's one point that is worrying me and that we might want to take up in talks with Filmic Pro as well, because at least in Denmark, where this man wrote to me from, at least mm-hmm. in Denmark, Bending Spoon asks you permission to share information which may be required by law or under the instructions of public authorities with those while you're
right.
using Filmic Pro. And for a journalist using Filmic Pro, there can be a severe problem when you use an app to interview someone. Think about a country that doesn't have a media system as free as the Netherlands or Denmark or Germany. If public authorities ask Bending Spoons for information, they say yep. that they want permission to pass these on. So journalists in countries that are not known for media freedom should think about using Filmic Pro from now on.
Yeah, absolutely. If the risk is that you've done an interview with like an opposition leader or whatever, and then everything gets shared immediately with the authorities, that is both for the journalist as for the people who he or she interviews, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it could that be an issue. Him. We don't know. We don't know the policy Bending Spoon's following, but it could be an issue, which is worrying. Because for journalists, I think it's enough to say that there could be an issue. Because as long as there could be an issue, it's not safe.
Although I'm not sure if that permission is not already given by the people behind the iPhone, the people behind the Android brands. That in fact, everything you shoot with that phone is shared in these countries.
Yeah, we don't know. At least when you used Filmic Pro, you didn't have to grant that permission before for Filmic
True.
Pro. And now you have mm-hmm. to grant it also for only using Filmic Pro. I mean, you and me with our Xiaomi phones, we know who's listening.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there are companies and journalists who might look much closer into that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think this is quite a kind of, we are already at a low point, losing our beloved app to a subscription. And here comes mm-hmm. another bad news.
Yes, let's drop another bad news bomb.
Boom, because I had to extend my subscription for KineMaster, which is a well-known editing app on Android phones,
mm-hmm.
also on iPhones. And they have raised their prices from around 25 euros per year to now 145 euros per year, which is more than fivefold.
Wow, that is a very, very steep increase in pricing. Do you know why they've done this? Have they said anything publicly about it?
I don't know. I haven't heard from them. And since the original management within the company has left and formed a new company, talking about Matthew Feinberg and those people, I think that at least my contact to the people behind KineMaster is a bit less intensive. And they are not as connected with the mobile reporting community as I've been before. No, I don't know why. And again, this is quite a lot of money. Think about having to afford Filmic Pro for we don't know how much, 100 or a little more, and KineMaster for 150. That comes down to 250 per year.
Yep. Yep. You could buy a camera for that price.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, but that's true.
Yeah, it's true. And you own it.
And you own it, yeah.
You could buy a new camera the next year and another one the year after.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's a particularly good camera, but you can buy a camera. Yes. Yeah. But it gives you the feeling that apparently the one-off price that we got used to and the relatively cheap subscription models in the end didn't prove profitable.
Yeah.
They couldn't make ends meet. They couldn't get all the innovation out of the apps and the hardware and whatever that we got used to.
Yeah, I think it's especially for those companies and developers that really tried their best to produce a professional app that can deal with difficult professional video codecs that have high resolution. So those developers that invested into apps that you could produce professional video with, they had such a small community and they didn't gain enough attention from kind of the wider app users that it's a decision between, you know, either being cheap but widening and not concentrating that much on pro or taking much more money from the niche target group that you might have. And I think that's what's happening at the moment. They see that they have a great product and they want the money for it.
Yeah. And they're not wrong. I mean, I understand why.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to work. I think they might lose a certain fan base they built the last couple of years.
Well, they lost me, you know? I didn't extend my KineMaster subscription on my Android phone. Well, I'm hoping for another player. I'm still not through with believing that one day LumaFusion might be on Android phones and we see how they will price. And also, I mean, you know, for people who are not as enthusiastic about doing everything on their phone as we are, why not go to a free Blackmagic Resolve edition and have it all there for no money?
Yep.
With proper keyboard and a bigger screen.
Yep. It's getting a lot harder to convince people of the benefits of doing it the Mojo way.
Exactly.
Even though everything that comes with the Mojo way of doing it, I mean, it's sort of a lifestyle, isn't it? I mean, it's traveling around with just a phone and a couple of microphones and a tripod and being able to tell your story, whatever it is, wherever it is, and sending it in from whatever. I edit it in the most remote, weird spots to be editing in, which I couldn't have done with a laptop. And that is still here. But the first step of actually getting into Mojo, just buying the stuff and getting the apps, that's going to be a bit harder to do.
Much harder to do. And, you know, it's not just about kind of a fancy lifestyle. It's also about, and Nick Garnett, I think, said that in a very early interview, second time we reference him. It's also about...
He's going to be so happy.
Well, hope so. It's also about being out there with your audience, with the people you report about, spending more time with reality out there, not in a newsroom or in a dark edit suit. That is the main advantage of mobile reporting, that you spend time out there in the real life.
Mm-hmm. Being within the stories you're telling.
Yeah, exactly. Or sitting in a cafe editing while you're hearing the next story.
Yeah.
Chatting to the waitress or whatever. That was a bit and cliche.
And these are still the benefits that are staying here. And we've discussed a couple of apps that become more expensive, the apps we've always been using. But I hate to say it, but there are alternatives.
Yeah, let's end it on a positive note. For those who want to get into mobile reporting and don't want to worry about subscribing to expensive apps, at least in the beginning, there are possibilities that they can try out. Shall we start with shooting first? Like, what can you use if you don't want to afford Filmic Pro?
Well, so I kick it off. One of my first backups for Filmic Pro has always been Movie Pro on the iPhone. It does a lot of the same tricks the Filmic Pro app does. Not as nice as Filmic Pro does it, but it has like 50 frames per second shooting for TV reporters. And in the most recent installment, even has a built-in teleprompter, which is, of course, nice to have, you know. So Movie Pro is one of the options you can try.
And don't worry, if you download Pro Movie, it's not that bad as well.
Indeed, Pro Movie is another one you can use. The names of these are very similar, so you might make a mistake there. Or Pro Cam, you also have Pro Cam, Pro Take, all
Pro good. Shot is also there, right?
Pro Shot. Wait. Let's check my list. Oh yeah, Pro Shot is also possible. Yep. So there are alternatives, and I have to be honest, they're not the same as Filmic Pro, not as good, but they can get the job done, and some of them are still on a one-off price.
We also
one app that has been thrown around a lot is Beastcam app.
Yep.
A lot of our colleagues have switched to the Beastcam app. Me personally haven't tried. Have you tried it?
No, I haven't tried it. I still sometimes recommend it, a Cinema FV5 to students.
Right, on Android.
Older Android models. But you mentioned rightly that it hadn't been updated for quite some time now.
I cannot remember the last time I've seen an update for that one.
Yeah, that's true. But it still works. Yeah.
And maybe also worth mentioning is Adobe Rush.
Yeah. Adobe Rush with a camera interface.
Yeah.
And as far as we're concerned, it looks like it is a free download.
Yeah. There probably are some limits to the free version. But as I only have the pro version on my phone, I cannot really check that right now. But there probably is. I mean, I can't imagine them giving it away. Unless they're looking to take over all the Filmic Pro people right now. And if you are already on the Creative Cloud from Adobe, then it makes perfect sense to use Adobe Rush.
Yeah, because it's part of it, so you don't have to pay additional cost, and you can easily transfer Rush's material into your kind of into your Premiere Pro project.
Yes.
So that's an option as well. For Android as well as iPhone, if I believe. Another editing option for Android is VN, which is free. Mm-hmm. Looks a bit like KineMaster with kind of layers that have different functionality. only a very low resolution with, I think, a max of a bit under 11 megabit per second. Just think about Filmic Pro allowing 50 megabit per second. That's only a fifth of it. So not really television quality, but good enough for online.
Yeah, for social media use, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, for Android, I'm still hoping for the best future for LumaFusion on Android.
So
they're still in the testing phase. It's looking good, but, well, we don't know when it's actually going to be out there.
That would have been my kind of hope. You know, sometimes you have good friends for a long time, a woman and a man, or might even be two men or two women, whatever. So two people, and you think you would make a perfect couple. And then one of them goes for another bride or groom. That has happened with Filmic Pro now. I always thought that Filmic Pro and LumaFusion were the perfect couple. And they talk to each other. I mean, even the different resolution modes that you found in Filmic, you found them again in LumaFusion. So they would have been the perfect match, but now the bride has gone to someone else.
That's a nice metaphor. That's a nice metaphor. I still hope we can talk to Filmic Pro in this podcast or
whatever. Well, they are invited. It would be wonderful. I mean, we know them. We might have, we should have asked them maybe, but I guess that now they would not have been able to talk as the pricing model and everything is still in the air, but maybe in a week or in a month, it would be nice to talk to them and to understand a little bit more about what they're up to.
Yeah, and hopefully hear that they're still as invested in the Mojo world as they have been in the past, which I totally believe that they are. Yeah. So hopefully all our pessimism in this special edition of the Mobile Storytelling Podcast isn't correct. And they will surprise us in some way.
Yes, and we promise if we do another edition of the Mobile Storytelling Podcast, which we were featured on the journalism.co.uk list as a podcast.
So that, we have to now.
Yeah, no, it is a podcast that doesn't really publish regularly, but if it publishes, it's interesting. So we're happy about that.
Exactly.
So, and the next time we'll not only be interesting, but positive.
Exactly.
Yeah?
That's a promise.
Cheerful, even cheerful. So we might have to invite Mark Settle again.
Yes, to have some laughs in there. Some British humor.
Yes, to be a bit cheerful.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to this edition of the Mobile Storytelling Podcast. My name is Wietse Vellinga in the Netherlands.
And I'm Björn Staschen in Hamburg. Thank you very much for listening. And if you have thoughts or ideas about this podcast or what we do, please get in touch. It on Twitter, I guess, is the easiest example. As long as Twitter is still subscription free.
Exactly. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.